Hey everyone, and welcome to Divination episode 14. Divination is a podcast and YouTube show by Elegant Themes, a leader in the premium WordPress theme and plugin market. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and our topic for this episode is playing the long game, setting yourself up for long-term success by investing in yourself and your own dreams, your own business, instead of someone else's. To help me explore this topic, I was joined by Tammy Grant. Tammy is the owner and founder of SunflowerBlogDesigns.com, a web design and development shop that specializes in Divi websites. They do custom work, pre-made packages, Divi child themes, and more. When Tammy and I caught up via Skype, we talked about a wide range of subjects, but in the end, we focused on how the decision to start and run her own business has allowed her to live life on her own terms, positioning her for a level of success now that wouldn't have been possible if she'd spent the previous years working for someone else. Here's our conversation. Tammy, welcome to Divination.
Hello, Nathan. Hello, everyone.
How are you doing today?
Good. Having a good day?
Yeah. What have you been up to so far?
Today, answered some client calls and stepped out on the porch and tried to kind of, I guess, decompress before this interview.
What does your typical day for you look like?
Well, I get started before I even get out of the bed. I'm guilty of checking email.
Checking on the phone. I do that too. I wake up and I'm like, okay, what's going on? I even set my phone so I could moderate blog comments on my phone.
Oh, wow. So that means you never rest, too.
No, I do. I do. I'm actually really good about unplugging. But when I wake up in the morning, there's just a few tasks I do to start my day, and that's one of them. And so it's real easy for me to, like, open up Hootsuite, check our social stuff, open up blog comments. And I just, you know, I'm waking up, and I'll let myself wake up first, and then I'll start going through that stuff. And it's, I don't know, I kind of like it, but I am actually kind of jealous of my time in at different parts of the day to make sure I'm like completely unplugged. I make sure I go for a big long walk every day so that I don't, with no technology whatsoever, I got to get out of the house, get out of the apartment, go for a walk.
That's a great idea. I should try that myself.
It's so nice. I mean, I'm not, I used to be really into like running and biking, but I found that like walking, I mean, you don't burn the same amount of calories. Like, so if you're like, you know, trying to burn a bunch of calories, it's not going to be the most efficient thing to do. That's been like my favorite thing about the last, I don't know, I've been doing it for a long time now, but I've really liked it ever since I started it. Well, we've got some articles to get into.
Yes.
Our first segment of the day is called This Week in WordPress. You want to jump right in?
Yes. I enjoyed all of the articles. Had a lot to say about all of them.
All right, here we go. This Week in WordPress, three articles caught my eye. I sent them ahead of time to Tammy so that she could read them and we could talk about them. Article number one, freelance work versus a salary job, the pros and cons. So this was an article written on Envato. It's actually business.tutsplus.com, but it's part of Envato Tuts. And I really like this article. I thought it had a lot of cool stuff to say. But Tammy, I'll let you go ahead and lead since you said you had some stuff you want to talk about. What did you think when you first read this article?
Well, I thought it was basic information about the pros and cons. I think that we have entered a different time where we don't really, some of us don't have an option now, whether we get to choose, whether we get to work freelance or for salary.
Yeah, I remember when I first started freelancing, I was taking some clients on, and one of the clients was like, you know, he was just asking me general information about myself, and I think at the time I was like 22, 23, something like that. It's pretty young. And he was appalled. He's like, I can't believe you're consulting at this young age. And he's like, typically people go through like years of work and then they become a consultant. And this is just, this is so backwards to me. I was like, dude, you realize I don't have a choice in the matter. Like, I'm just trying to pay my bills like everybody else. Like, I'm a freelancer because there are no real jobs right now. This was actually shortly after the 2000, this is probably 2009 or something like that. So I'm like, you realize that if you want this kind of work done right now, it's going to be freelance.
Right.
But so what are some of the things that you have found beneficial about freelance work or salaried work? I mean, I guess either one.
I've had both of them. For the most part, freelancing has afforded me the opportunity to homeschool and be flexible. We've moved to Las Vegas and moved back to Florida. The whole time I've been able to keep my business. I've also been able to scale back when needed. I've taken some time where we just kind of manage the clients that we have and not taking any new ones. So okay. I like the fact that if I set a goal from year to year, how much I want to earn, how busy I want to be, or do I want to take some time off? Mm-hmm. I still have that flexibility. And as I was speaking to about the state of things today, many people are working like many different part-time jobs, trying to scrape up, I guess, a decent salary, and they really should consider freelancing.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, that's I think is interesting because it used to be, there used to be this assumption that if you wanted to make decent money, and you don't already have a huge collection of experience or years of experience. Mm-hmm. That you need to get a salary job because they're going to pay you, you know, salary benefits, all this stuff. But really, I mean, today the salary jobs are not always that great. I mean, some of them are really good. Some of them are still really good. But I mean, I think a lot of times, and unless you're in very specific industries, getting on the payroll doesn't necessarily mean you're getting a better wage. I mean, there are some cases in which, you know, I actually considered going off of freelance for a while. This is before I started working with Elegant Themes. And the option of getting a job in my neighborhood or in my city or freelancing was a difference between, you know, like, you know, it was cutting half my freelance pay to take a, mm-hmm. a quote unquote secure salary job. So it's like you said, I think the game has fundamentally changed when it comes to these two dynamics.
Yes. And especially if you're working a salary job, you're usually putting in a lot more than 40 hours per week mm-hmm. and you're not really getting paid for it.
Yeah. So, whereas if you're freelancing, if you can create systems and become efficient enough, you can actually mm-hmm. get paid significantly more for quite a bit less time on the job, just more valuable work, which is really great too. I know that's a big plus, big bonus of being freelance is you kind of get to control your own productivity in that sense.
Yes. And I guess with the freelancing, it's just really been a big plus for my lifestyle choice. Yeah. And I could never trade it. I like the flexibility of being able to make decisions and go wherever I'd like to go. Our family is a little different from a lot of the people in our family. My husband's a professor. My two children are at home. So sometimes we're all at home at the same time working. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really good environment, raising a family and freelancing at the same time.
You know, one of the things that I think is a challenge, and they mentioned this in the article to people who are freelancing, is just a sense of isolation. What have you found a way to cope with that? I mean, I know for myself, it's been building friendships and relationships with other bloggers or other people in sort of my niche. Have you done the same thing?
I've recently started doing that in the past year and a half, but I think because of my family life and homeschooling, it's kind of part of my day as well. Mm. I have not had the need or the feeling of being.
You've had your family around you.
Yes, I constantly have things going on. But this year, I started to get involved with a co-working environment here
cool.
in town,
yeah.
which has been really great. And we meet up every Friday, all the creative professionals and developers. Also, too, Divi, just being a part of the Divi community has really changed, made me feel more inclusive. And I have a new community. It's almost like having coworkers.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, the number of people who talk to each other on the Facebook groups and the blog comments and the forums. It's really awesome to see. I mean, the Facebook groups are particularly active because I think Facebook's just such a good community tool that mm-hmm. it really facilitates these conversations. But the connections are, I mean, they're instantaneous. I mean, you get on there, you leave a comment, you write a post, you submit a link, and the discussion is immediate. So it's really, and the communities are big enough, thankfully, that really it's like any time that you're on there, wherever you're at in the mm-hmm. world, somebody else is on there, and they're right. ready to engage with you. And they're either ready to, you know, talk about what you want to talk about, or give you some, you know, advice on a problem you're having, or some critique on a new website that you launch. I mean, it mm-hmm. really is encouraging. And I think it's been one of the most fun aspects of doing this podcast is I get to interact with those communities a lot now.
Yes.
I'm hoping, in fact, that I can structure next season to have more time during the week to hang out in those communities, because now I'm spending so much time, you know, writing and researching and doing the mm-hmm. production work and editing that I have to hit these deadlines, and I'm really looking forward to maybe spending some more time in those communities, just like getting to know everybody. Thankfully, yes. this podcast is, you know, I get a lot of time with a few individuals, but I would like to get more, you know, small touch time with a lot of people, which would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could jump to the next article. Article number two, four freelancing mistakes that are costing you cash and how to avoid them. So this is an article that was published on WPMUDev.org, and it was by Rachel McCollin. And the four mistakes are as follows. Mistake number one, undercharging. Mistake number two, no contracts. Mistake number three, no project brief. And mistake number four, no deposit. Have you made these mistakes?
I have made almost all of them.
Same here.
The one thing that I've never made was the no deposit. I have always been adamant about not starting a project without getting a deposit.
Yeah.
But I have made the others. I think that it's a natural part of being a freelancer, not understanding your worth mm-hmm. and the undercharging part. Until you've experienced what it's like to be knee deep in a project and you can't afford help because you didn't charge enough. I think that's enough of a lesson to learn that you must charge more than enough. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm learning more and more every day that it's not enough just to charge to cover your business expenses and your salary. You have to look at what the project or the product or service yeah. that you're providing is, what the value is.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you start to get a lot more experience, you have to charge for all of that experience. It makes you more effective, more efficient when producing.
Yeah, I think that's been something that's kind of come up over and over again on the podcast is, you know, trying to help people overcome the fear of, I don't know what it is, charging too much, of being seen mm-hmm. as someone who has an overinflated sense of their own worth or their work. Whatever that is, whatever that fear is, I think the most successful people in the community are the ones who have found a way to mediate it, mm-hmm. if not just get past it altogether. And that's definitely part of it, is just, you know, recognizing that just because you're covering your expenses doesn't mean you're charging enough.
Exactly.
And we've actually talked about this quite a bit, including, you know, going over or revisiting a blog post that I wrote a while back on Elegant Themes, the general pricing guide for WordPress websites. And so I think this is a pretty well-trodden area, but I always like to reiterate that point because people really need to realize the value of their work and what they're mm-hmm. doing. And as a baseline, this is something that, again, we've gone over quite a few times, but as a baseline, if you're not charging more than it costs someone to DIY their own self-hosted WordPress website, you definitely got to raise those rates.
Yes. And I've been guilty of, I guess I have a soft heart. I have a soft heart. So that coupled with my desire to see other people start businesses, it's like one of the one things that I'm extremely passionate about. I think everyone should have a business.
Yeah.
And when people approach me, I am, because I want them to have it so bad, it's easy for me to lower the price for them and, I guess concern myself with how much this is going to cost them.
Yeah.
So it's taken me a lot of years to get over that, you know, not wanting something bad enough or more than that person wants it. So
Right. I think, you know, that's perfect, because I think there's times in my career so far where I see the potential in someone's idea, or I see how I would execute it if I were in their shoes, and I get all excited about it. but I have to realize that, okay, this is their thing. I'm hired to do what I do as a service to them, and I need to kind of let my involvement be limited to that scope. I don't need to take on all the burden of of their responsibilities.
Yes, because early on, I used to get very invested emotionally.
Yeah, and I think that's good, but you have to learn how to, like, you know, rein yourself in for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in other words, you need to stay focused. Being able to center yourself back to your own business could only make it better for you to provide better services.
Yeah.
So I definitely had to rein that in.
Absolutely. Let's jump to the third and final article. This is actually a podcast episode. We've featured a few of these so far in This Week in WordPress. This is from Rainmaker.fm, and this is a show called Hack the Entrepreneur. And the podcast host is John Naster. So this episode was called Why You Need to Start Before You're Ready. Did you get a chance to listen to this?
I did. I enjoyed that. As a matter of fact, I think I'll listen to more.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of the Rainmaker stuff's pretty good. Without diving into all the details, like, because I want people to be able to listen to it if that's what they want to do. So I don't want to rehash every aspect of it. But just to riff on the theme, why you need to start before you're ready. Is that something that you found in your own experience was important to your success? Is, you know, just getting over the idea or getting over the inclination to have everything perfect or be an expert before you get started, was that something that you needed to do or that you did?
Always. I mean, I feel like there's never a moment when I have to be thrusted into a situation that I don't feel ready for. Mm. I think if I would never be ready. Some people would never be ready. So sometimes you have to just jump in. You know, I say with a guarded, you know, you need to have some preparation, not like completely jump into the water, but at some point you have to pull the trigger on whatever the idea is and move forward. And a lot of times you work it out along the way. As a matter of fact, when I first started being interested in becoming an entrepreneur, I was told I was too young. I think the earliest age was about 18, and people have an idea in their mind of what an entrepreneur is. Someone is college educated, maybe an MBA, and like you mentioned before, having been at a large corporation for a while, learned from their peers. But I say anyone should start a business. I love to watch children start businesses. And since I've been homeschooling, I've been encouraging my daughters to start businesses. As a matter of fact, I just finished the website for a 15-year-old.
Oh, wow. What was that about?
That really excites me. She makes jewelry, and I'm not sure how far she wants to go with this. I'm not even sure if this is her life's plan, but it could never hurt.
Well, sure,
just start
getting
business experience at 15, you know. So that's very exciting to me.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think when I was a kid, I always thought it was so interesting that you could do something and make money. I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, if I just do X, I get money. That's interesting. Wonder how I could manipulate that basic equation, you know?
And yes.
And if you catch the bug, it can be quite addicting, I think. Finding a way to do that that's also fulfilling for you in a number of other levels as you get older is also huge. And I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about that here in the main segment. So let's sign off for This Week in WordPress.
Okay.
So that is all for this edition of This Week in WordPress. If you're interested in reading the articles that we discussed, YouTube viewers can check the video description for links, and everyone else can find the show notes on our blog. Just go to the community category in the right-hand sidebar at eleganttheme.com/blog and check out the post for Divination episode 14. Okay, the next segment of the show is where we get to know our guest hosts in a bit more detail and pick their brain on this episode's main topic. Our guest today is Tammy Grant, and our topic is playing the long game. We'll find out exactly what that means as we get into it. So let's get into it. Tammy, can you share a bit of your backstory with us?
I got into web development because I've always been, first of all, interested in starting a business. I had the pleasure of working with two small businesses, and it really taught me a lot about how businesses were run. Mm-hmm. I really liked the lifestyles of the business owners, how flexible their lives were. And while they still earn a very good salary and they were still able to take long lunches. Mm-hmm. Basically, they could do whatever they wanted. And that was something that I wanted. So fast forward to getting married and having a child, now was thrusted with deciding whether I wanted to have a career or if I wanted to stay home. I decided that now was the time to pursue business ownership. So this would fulfill both desires.
Yeah, absolutely. And was that because, I mean, obviously now we know that you're running a Divi-centered business and you do mm-hmm. web design development. When you decided to become an entrepreneur, was that the first option or did you have other things in mind?
I didn't know what to do at that point. I just know that I needed to do something. We were kind of cash strapped, just married, only 23, and we just had a baby. And at that time, the home-based business, the buzz was around, and my husband and I thought, well, let's go get a computer system and find something to do with it.
And what year was this, if you don't mind me asking?
1995.
1995, got a computer. And
we bought a computer and decided, let's explore a few different things. I started off doing business services for people. Did bookkeeping with Peachtree and helped businesses keep their books. And I'm trying to remember the origins of when I found web development being interesting. Once I did, that was about 1996. I decided, okay, let's go to the bookstore.
A few years you said 95 is when you started?
Yes. And so about a year later.
Okay, so about a year later, you've been doing some bookkeeping. You've been doing some just kind of just hustle work probably.
just
looking around and going, what can I do for people with this machine?
Yes, basically. So I would say around 96, I really fell in love with multimedia. Mm-hmm. That's when Macromedia was huge.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh my goodness!
That was a little before my time on getting into that stuff, but I remember those software suites.
Yes, so I kind of delved into a little Macromedia Shockwave, mm-hmm. and then I discovered that web design was really kicking off. So I went and bought tutorial books and started teaching myself HTML back in '96, and from that I moved to using like Microsoft Front Page and Publisher.
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to say right around, I'm going to say about 2004, I just started hand coding with Dreamweaver, and I kind of put aside the website builders like Microsoft Publisher. Took some time off to work about 2005. Mm-hmm. I was hired to work full time as a programmer at a learning management company. We provided simulation training for the military, and my job was to work on the learning management system and create panels, simulation training panels for really the Canadian Air Force. So that was a lot of fun. And during this time period, I kept my web design business alive. I didn't want to let that go. I never did. So
what was that first? How did you start getting into web design as a business? So you got into web design, mm-hmm. I'm assuming just to see what it was like and if you could do it. And once you figured out that, hey, this is something I can do, I am capable. How long were you doing, hand-coded websites or static websites until you came across WordPress?
I was doing hand-coded websites for about 11 years. Before I came around to WordPress. Before I started using WordPress, I'd used Drupal and Joomla.
Okay, yeah.
And then I discovered that WordPress had better search engine rankings and eventually started to get all of my clients off Joomla and into WordPress. So I started using WordPress around 2009 and Divi around 2014.
Yeah, because it came out right at the end of 2013. So, And how did that change things?
Oh my goodness! I think right around that time, I was a little burned out of web design and was considering starting a different kind of business and just kind of maintaining my existing clients.
Yeah,
I ran across a website that just really wowed me, and discovered it was made with Divi.
Oh, nice!
And that's when I decided to go ahead and buy a subscription to Elegant Themes. And before you know it, I was lost in it again.
That's awesome. Well, let's go ahead and start to transition the conversation into our main theme, which is playing the long game. And we're going to talk more about Divi as we get into that. But I kind of want to set up this this idea of playing the long game real quick. And I have a bit of a random question to do that. Do you follow Humans of New York on Facebook?
No.
Have you ever heard of it?
I have. Okay. I've seen people share the post, but yeah. I've never followed.
So it's this, yeah, it's this really cool project for everyone who's listening as well. It's a really cool project by a photographer out of New York City where he interviews, I guess, random people around the city, and then he takes their portrait and he juxtaposes their portrait with a part of their interview as just a simple Facebook post or a blog post, and he shares them. And it's just, it's really poignant. It's often these images with the interview snippet, they're just really good at humanizing other people, kind of personalizing them in a moment. It's just really, really powerful. And there was a photo or interview I came across the other day of a young woman sitting on her suitcase, and I don't know if she was in a terminal of some kind, but the quote that was shared with it is this: "I wish I'd partied a little less. People always say, be true to yourself, but that's misleading because there are two selves. There's the short-term self and there's the long-term self. And if you're only true to your short-term self, your long-term self slowly decays." And I thought with the theme of this episode being playing the long game, what we're really getting at is investing in your future success instead of just looking out for your immediate needs. And that was something that I thought was a really good example of why this theme is important, because I think everybody can relate to the idea of getting to a certain point in their life and going, ugh, if only I had... Maybe now a lot of people are like, if only I learned to code when I was, you know, 15, I could be doing so, or whatever. But based on our conversation so far, Tammy, I feel like this is a mode of thinking or operation that you probably have a lot of experience with, where you probably had opportunity to stay in a corporate path or to do things that were maybe more immediately secure for you and your family, but you chose mm-hmm. to invest. And I was wondering if you could just speak to the kind of balance that you had to strike between your immediate needs and your future aspirations.
Well, you know, with freelancing and with businesses, you have your feast and your famine period. So yes, mm-hmm. a few times I had considered maybe I should just give all of this up. And I must say that I'm glad that I never gave it up, because for one, I have children who are coming up, and this is something that I feel that they'll be able to benefit from my experience as a business owner, and they'll take off with it, and they'll be better at it, having me trailblaze before them. Mm-hmm. So I definitely see the benefit of staying the course. The last job that I held was back in 2007. And it was a great job. I really enjoyed working there. I learned lots of things. It was nice to be in a community at the company. And of course, the salary is always great. But just like anything in other businesses, they lost one good contract. And then before you know it, it was a death spiral.
Yeah.
Other government entities just started jumping ship. And before you know it, they were laying off people, you know, one group, second group, third group, and we're like, okay, we know what's going to happen eventually. But ultimately, they closed the office down here in Orlando. And I was really grateful that I still had my business.
Yeah, so you had shifted it to the side for a little while and kind of scaled it down. That was one of the other things I think we talked about in our pre-interview was, you know, I always referred to it. I don't know if I ever told you I referred to it this way. But the way I thought about it was kind of like the art of scaling, because I've had to do this in my own work too, is, you know, I started a digital publishing company years ago and I still maintain parts of it to this day, but I kind of scale it based on the circumstances that I'm in. And you had talked about how, you know, you'd homeschooled your kids and you'd had other things come up. You've had, if you don't want me to mention this, we can cut it, but you mentioned you had a long-term illness or an illness that took a significant chunk of your time out, and you had to manage these things and your business. And so you were able to scale your business, you know, as the boss of your own time.
That's right.
In order to fit your life. And I thought that was really cool. Do you have any, I don't know, anecdotes or stories or experience about those moments that maybe would help someone going through a time where they're unsure how to manage their business or their time?
Well, I'm going to say the one thing that helped get me through those time periods of transition mm-hmm. and scaling back is to be a little transparent with your customers. Mm. I told them as much as they needed to know without them panicking. most of the time, they're only concerned about whether they're going to be okay, whether if sure. they need help, it's handled. So to a certain degree, I was transparent with what was going on in my life. The only thing that my customers knew was that their work was being taken care of and all was well. Mm. Only thing that I did do was I didn't take on new work. So
okay. And so did you have like some maintenance plans that you just sort of maintained? Was that kind of your, okay, gotcha.
I did. And when they had needed technical support or needed help, either I could assist or I would have an assistant assist okay. during those time periods. So to make a long story short, having your customers understand that, you know, while you're not accepting new work, you are still part of their team. Also having a support system of your own mm-hmm. for those time periods when you want to hold on to your business, you need to have colleagues that can step in and help. Yeah. During those time periods.
And so how have you managed that, or how have you attracted colleagues as a solopreneur? I mean, have you just made friends in the community and passed work onto them? Is that what?
Yes. I've always known others in town who do the same work years ago. Other people who are web developers who are friends.
Mm, okay.
That I was able to call on. And now with Divi, we're making new connections with people who share the same interest in a more deeper area.
Yeah.
By using Divi.
Not so just now, web developers, not just WordPress users, but exactly. all of the above, plus specific theme user and plugin exactly. users as well. So that's a lot in common.
Yes, I'm finding myself more attracted to working with others who use Divi as opposed to others who just use WordPress. So okay. that has really changed the game of who would be a part of a development team or projects. So well,
that brings me to another thing I wanted to talk to you about, which is the choice you made to specifically work with Divi and the advantages that it might have over, say, working with another framework or working with mm-hmm. another theme, or working outside of WordPress for that matter. Can you tell us some of the reasons that you decided to create a Divi-centered business as opposed to working with another framework or another theme or outside of WordPress altogether?
I found the Divi page builder being the easiest way to sell a website to a person who has been a little concerned or scared of getting a website. Some people want to be able to make their own simple changes. They don't want to be charged a maintenance fee mm. for changing some content in a website. In the past, it's still been kind of difficult. If a person is using WordPress for a website, changing some text on a homepage may still be kind of challenging. Hmm. Because of the div tabs and different things like that. It's not a regular blog post page. So a lot of times clients have run away from the ease of using WordPress. They don't think it's that easy, you know?
Right. Because they don't know how hard it is to use something else, probably.
Yes, exactly. I think that the page builder layout with Divi has really made things so much easier for my clients to go in and just change the text module. Most of the time, that's all you want to change.
Yeah. So, and with Divi 2.5, you can really now like control what modules they even have access to change. So there's really no fear of them getting into somewhere where they don't
exactly.
know what they're doing, which is really cool. So it's easier to sell. That's a great one.
Yes.
How has it affected your productivity? How many websites you're able to manage and build at a time?
Yes, it has. Now, instead of working on one good project per month, I can work on, I think I can, even by myself, I can manage about 6 different websites a month using Divi.
So being able to... Is there a difference between manage and create in this instance? Are you kind of lumping those together? Like, are you creating six new websites, or are you managing them with like maintenance? What do you? I just want to be clear.
I'm sorry. I meant creating.
Oh, wow. So that's actually quite a bit. So you can create six websites in a given month using Divi. Wow. That's impressive.
Being able to save the library features in the library really makes a difference. And being able to catalog those things and keeping a really good file system on your computer of different tool sets so that you'll know how to just go grab all the different tools you need in order to create the features you want on a website really makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we already mentioned the Divi community and how big a difference that's already making and the ways in which, you know, you can just instantly get feedback and help and support. Let's see. You know, one thing I've heard other people talk about, and I don't know if this is true for you, but the fact that so many people use WordPress. And even if you were just to stay within the Elegant Themes community, which is, you know, I think we just went over 300,000 members. There just seems to be no lack of work within either of those communities, whether it's Elegant Themes itself or WordPress as the larger community. Have you found that to be true for you?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, deciding to work with Divi exclusively has given me the opportunity to build my website's search rank around Divi.
Okay. And so you've actually probably gotten more business instead of less by offering wider variety of websites.
Yes. And now able to stop pursuing local work and basically, I get all of my business online from Divi, the Divi community.
Oh,
people
wow.
who are seeking people who design Divi websites.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And customizations. So it's been great working with Divi. I like the community, and I think that it's in its infancy. A lot of opportunity in working with the theme, coming up with different products and services related.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're really seeing sort of a explosion of Divi related businesses pop up. I mean, I know just from the people we've had on the podcast, there's, you know, a couple of child theme companies. You sell child themes as well as, you know, customized websites and blog designs. There's Divi courses coming out. There's all kinds of stuff within the community where people are taking advantage of this. And like I said, there just doesn't seem to be a shortage of interest in any one direction. Like, nobody's losing out by clumping together and doing Divi stuff and even promoting other Divi businesses. There's, you know, it's not like there seems to be a shortage. So here's my question. And this, we're not short on time or anything. You don't need to rush. But if it ends up being our parting thought, that's cool too, because one thing that I want to make sure we give people with this interview is some guidance on how they can start to invest in themselves. And if they're interested in investing in themselves by getting more plugged into to Divi community, I guess I'm just wondering, what are some beneficial ways in which someone who wants to do that can start to begin to interact with the Divi community in a way that invests in their own long-term success?
I'm going to say you need to jump in, just start, I guess, buy the Divi theme and start using it. I think the best way you're going to know how what questions to ask is to find a little
make a lot of mistakes.
Yes, you're really just going to have to get in and get your hands dirty. I'm going to say one of the best ways to see what you can do with Divi is to find a non-Divi website and attempt to rebuild it in Divi. And along the way, you're going to have tons of questions. This is how you'll end up interacting with Divi community. And of course, the more you learn, the more you'll be able to give to the Divi community in the way of helping someone else who is just starting out on that journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. I actually really like that idea of finding a website that's not Divi related or that's not built with Divi and trying to recreate it, because I think some people are worried that if they start using Divi, all their websites are going to look like Divi, which to be fair, if you keep everything more or less standard, more or less as it comes, then there's a Divi look, and that's totally fine. However, I think that exercise is a really good exercise. Find something that's completely unrelated to Divi, maybe not even built with WordPress, I don't know, and and just try to recreate it, because there are ways that you can do that. Hopefully if you're brand new, you won't find that too daunting, but it's going to be a challenge either way. And and the communities are great too. I mean, everybody from the official support team and the forums to the really unofficial but highly active Facebook groups, there's a lot of good advice out there, and there's a lot of people willing to help. So I found that just posting a quick question in any of those places, you'll get pretty fast answers and you'll solve your issue. And then, like you said, as soon as you have your own answers, you can share those with other people, and it just kind of grows and builds on itself.
Yes, it does.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else. We really ran through our questions. Is there anything, I guess, to go through on a parting thought here? If someone, we talked about what you can do for Divi community and investing in yourself and how you can start to jump in there. What would be something, and maybe this is just a question about your perspective, but what was something that helped you on a personal level decide to play the long game as opposed to just do what was safe and secure in the moment?
Well, old age. You have to have something when you in your elderly years. Unfortunately, I see so many elderly working retail, and I always wonder, what did they do during their younger years, and were they just sort of forced into work after retirement, not having any up to date skills, that sort of thing.
So really, so, just a fear of
getting obsolete.
Yeah, getting to a place where you didn't have anything of, I guess, relevant technical experience to offer. You know, it strikes me that investing in your own long-term success is another way of investing in, you know, the next generation's success. I know you've mentioned your kids several times and how important it was for you to homeschool them and foster their interest in business and entrepreneurship themselves, kind of pass the torch. So would you say that, legacy is a big part of this as well?
Yes, legacy, definitely. I want to pave the way for my children. My parents were not entrepreneurs, and my husband's parents weren't. And I'm the first, really, in my family that has really taken an interest. So I'm really hoping that I can pass down all of my knowledge and experience to my daughters so that they could move forward with that same mindset. I have one in college now, and if she could have it her way, she'll never work for anyone.
For anyone but herself. That's awesome.
Yes, we'll see if that happens, but I think there's rich experiences with working with others. So I do encourage her to seek internships and such, but I believe her long-term goals are to be an entrepreneur. And as far as leaving something behind with them and taking care of myself as I age and keeping my skill set sharp and not being irrelevant, I want to make sure that I'm always constantly learning, especially in this field. If you blink an eye, you can easily be set behind. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a great, just the idea of, if you want to stay relevant, if you want to ensure that you have something to pass on, whether that's, your actual business or it's just skills and knowledge and advice that you've learned over the years as an entrepreneur. I think that's all really compelling reasons for people to think long term, to play the long game and invest in their future success in whatever form that ends up taking. I think that's all for this episode, or this interview rather. Tammy, thank you so much for coming on Divi Nation.
Thank you.
As always, I'd just like to extend one more big thank you to Tammy for coming on the show. I'm always inspired by the stories our guests share, because no matter where they come from or what they've had to go through to get where they are today, they've all gained a lot of wisdom and perspective from their experiences. And I can't help but feel lucky to be able to share that with the whole community. Speaking of cool things to share with the community, we've got one more segment left in today's show. It's another installment of Divi Quick Tip. This time around, I'll be showing you how to reset animations after you scroll past them on a page so that when you scroll back up, they're triggered again. If you're not sure what I mean by that, it's probably best to just watch the example I've prepared. Check it out. In this Divi Quick Tip, I'm going to show you how to trigger page element animations on both the up and down scrolls, whereas by default, they only trigger on the down scroll. Why would you want to do this? Well, I don't know exactly. Probably because animations are cool, and this is basically getting twice the amount of animations. The important thing is that this was a Divi Quick Tip request that I received via YouTube comment by commenter Ask For More, whose name is pretty apt. So hey, Ask For More, this one's for you. Just to make sure everyone knows what I'm talking about when I say we're going to be making the page element animations trigger on the up and down scroll, here's an example of our end result. I'm going to refresh this about page, and you'll see that all the elements that animate, they animate as they come into view on the down scroll. Now, typically, this would only happen on the down scroll, and when we would go back up, there would be no animations because they would stay set in the final position. However, we're going to use a jQuery script to trigger the animations as they come into view, regardless of whether it's on the up or down scroll, so that when you scroll back up, like I'm getting ready to do, you'll see all those animations over again. To achieve the same effect on your Divi website, you'll need to copy the script that we've provided in the accompanying blog post. YouTube viewers can check the video description for this link, and everyone else can simply go to elegantthemes.com/blog and search for the blog post for Divi Nation episode 14. It's in the community category. Once you've copied the script, navigate to your WP admin and go to Divi Theme Options Integrations. You're going to want to copy the script we provided into the section called Add Code to the Body. Once that's done, click Save, and you should now be able to go back to the front of your site and experience a lot more animation fun. All right, well, that's all for this Divi Quick Tip. If you have a quick tip request, you can leave it in the comments section wherever you're listening to or viewing this. You can also send your request to me at podcast@elegantthemes.com with the subject line Divi Quick Tip Request. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Just a reminder, next week is our last episode of the first season. We'll be taking a break from full episodes over the holidays and coming back strong in the new year. For our last episode of the season airing next week, I'll be talking with Tim Striffler, who you may remember was one of the winners of our Divi Site Makeover Challenge. We're going to be talking about building and launching successful productized services.
What would have increased market research looked like for you? And in general, how does someone go about conducting market research? I mean, it sounds like, you know, a report that someone with a big budget buys from a huge data agency, you know, oh, I got my market research in. But for someone who, like us, is just a freelancer or a solopreneur, what does that actually look like? What
is market research? Yeah, that's a great question. Like? And I think you're right. Market research has this like big meaning to it. And it's a little scary to think of doing market research. But I think it can be as simple as talking to your potential customers. So for me, that could have been reaching out to friends that were getting married and learning from them. Because I was doing this on the side, I felt like it had to be a secret. And I didn't want my employer to know that I was starting a business on the side. And so I wasn't really getting feedback from other people that were getting married and planning weddings. It could have been also reaching out to wedding planners or wedding photographers, people that are constantly
work in and around the industry or in and around your ideal
exactly.
customers.
Yeah, exactly. And know the other products out there and the services out there, know what our mutual customers want and need.
That's all for this episode of Divi Nation. I'll see you next week for our final episode of season 1.